Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
Welcome, everybody, whether you're listening on Periscope or whether you're listening later on Locked On Pistons. We've had an eventful 24 hours in the Pistons world. The Pistons have added Reggie Bullock. They've re-signed him as an unrestricted free agent to a two-year, $5 million contract. They had his bird rights, so they didn't need to use the biannual exception or any other kind of cap mechanism. They just straight signed him up. They saved that biannual exception and used it on Anthony Tolliver today. So they signed Tolliver to a one-year deal worth $3.29 million, which is the exact amount of the biannual exception. So the Pistons now stands, I'll bring up the numbers here, the Pistons salary currently stands at $116.4 million. That's about $2.8 million shy of the luxury tax. It's about $9 million shy of the hard cap. So the Pistons have maneuvered themselves out of this hard cap situation, and they've managed to round out the roster. They're actually at 15 now. With everybody signed that they're looking to get signed, they have a roster max of 14, which means that the clock might be ticking on Michael Benajay. His contract is worth 1 point. I'm looking at the wrong thing here. His contract is worth $1.3 million. But it's only guaranteed for $500,000. So if the Pistons were to waive him before July 15th, which is his guarantee date, they would save that roster spot, and they would also save about $800,000 in salary. $812,000 actually in salary. So the roster spot, I think, is the more important element here. That's the Pistons' cap situation going forward. So we have a fairly well-rounded picture of what the Pistons' roster is going to look like going forward now, barring some sort of a deal. The Pistons have moved on from Marcus Morris, Aaron Baines, KCP, and Bano Udre, and they have brought on board Avery Bradley, Anthony Tolliver, Langston Galloway, and they drafted Luke Kennard. So it's been a turnover of almost 30% of the roster. Four faces are gone and four faces have been replaced. You've got two starters that go out the door. As DT2 Phillips in chat here says, Tolliver is another player that can make threes. Tolliver would have been the best three-point shooter on the Pistons roster last year. He hit 39% of his threes. In chat, Eric Moreland has been added as well. So I mean, if the Pistons add Eric Moreland and they lose Michael Benajay, this is like 35% of the roster that's been turned over. Two of the five starters are going to be different going forward. So this is a fairly unknown quantity of a Detroit Pistons team compared to last year, where with the exception of letting Anthony Tolliver walk and signing John Luehr and Ish Smith, also letting Steve Blake walk, how can we forget that? For the most part last year the Pistons shored up a few weaknesses and didn't really do much overhaul. This is a completely different situation with the Pistons this year. The starting lineup is going to most likely only feature Reggie Jackson and Andre Drummond from the regular starters last year. Tobias Harris is going to be starting, whether it's it sounds like maybe he will be starting at the four, and Stanley Johnson playing at the three. But you know, whether that's the case or not, however they move things around in the forward rotation, there's only two locks to be starting from the starting rotation, from the starting lineup last year. That's probably an excellent thing, because the Pistons starters were, if not among the league's worst, very, very close to the league's worst almost all year long. I did a breakdown a little while ago where I discovered that the top six Pistons lineups in terms of minutes were all, like, they all had negative net ratings. You can't win games in the NBA if your starting lineup is perpetually digging you a hole that your backup has to, your reserves have to get you out of. And, when those reserves are led by Ish Smith, Ish is great, but he's never going to shoot you back into a game. You're never going to have that go-to guy with Ish Smith being your offensive focal point, your quarterback offensively. So the Pistons needed a starting lineup that was more shored up, that made more sense, maybe one that can actually move the ball a bit better. Reggie Jackson gets a lot of hate for holding the ball, for dribbling the air out of the ball. Surely he does. He hangs onto the ball plenty, without a doubt. But the Pistons are removing a ball stopper in Marcus Morris. Avery Bradley is a guy who can plug in. He's used to not having the ball in his hands all the time. He can play off the ball well, but he's also capable of handling the ball. The Pistons have very possibly a more capable offensive unit, and they didn't have to trade out much defensively. And I think that, while Stanley Johnson has plenty to prove here at the NBA level, we may also find that his defense is not a significant trade-off from Marcus Morris with a whole lot more upside. Anything but Darko asks, how concerned am I with Bradley's injury history? I don't think that he's missed so much time that he could really be considered truly injury prone with that tag on him. I'll bring up his basketball reference page, but he's not a guy that has like chronic injuries, and he's he's a tough player as well. Like he missed almost 30 games last year, certainly, which isn't great. But he only missed 6 games in 15-16 and 5 games the year before. So those are the only two seasons that are really close to like full seasons, which it's a bit of a concern. KCP had with the exception of a couple games here and there, missed shoulder injury last year. He missed 7 games. But maybe he returned a little bit too quickly. He definitely struggled badly after coming back last year. So I wouldn't rule out the fact that, while KCP doesn't have the injury-prone label, certainly, he might have struggled more with injuries than meets the eye. My friend Lauren Hance asks if we pick up Trey Burke. I'll say no, and Chad is probably going to eat you alive, Lauren. I'm sorry. Welcome. Now that the Pistons don't have KCP, it almost seems like they should have Trey Burke, right? I'm joking. You guys are going to probably bring that back to haunt me, aren't you? let's see. Yeah, Eli Bashi, who's come into, I think, every single one of these, says if we could get Michigan Trey Burke, yeah, absolutely. Michigan Trey Burke would be a completely different story. Clutch sharpshooter from long range, it'd be great to get him back. Power forward rotation. That's a good question. I've seen some indications that the Pistons might want to put Stanley Johnson at power forward occasionally, which is really interesting. right now, what I would like to see, whether this is what happens or not, what I would like to see is John Lewis starting at power forward, and then Anthony Tolliver can back him up. And yeah, Tolliver can relieve him, and Henry Ellis can plug in as need be. Somebody said in chat, no, Stanley is a small forward. And yeah, I definitely agree. Power forward four is definitely not my preferred lineup, but there might be some small ball. Again, something I've got a very sharp chat. Small ball lineups might be something that they can plug him in at the four. But right now, my preferred starting power forward is John Lohr, with Anthony Tolliver coming in behind him. I would rather have Tobias Harris starting at the three. I didn't see who asked this, but somebody asked if unused NBA cap space rolls over year to year, and it doesn't. You use it this year, or you get nothing for it down the road. So as it happens, the Pistons have definitely no unused cap space this year. They're well over it. They're about $15 million over it. AB Lockdown says Rod Beard was saying that Kennard is the backup shooting guard. I don't know. I don't know if that's something that he's got definitive word on. I think he was also speculating about Johnson at the three, about Stanley Johnson at the three, and Tobias at the four. I don't know if this is speculation or if he's gotten this like right from the top. I feel like it's more speculation. I think that the Pistons probably want to see how things shake out. You know, I don't think we're going to have like a defined starting lineup from the organization until like training camp. You know, maybe sometime during the preseason. It's going to be a while before we really know what Stan wants to do rotationally, I think. But you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Luke Kennard has a real shot at making a dent in the shooting guard rotation. I think he can fight his way up the ranks. Arsh Boss asks, in my opinion, who is the best and second best 3-point shooter on the current roster? I'm looking at it right now here. Reggie Jackson was the best regular 3-point shooter last year. But you know, if you look at the numbers that Anthony Tolliver put up and Avery Bradley put up, I think you might have just added the two best 3-point shooters on this team. Even in spite of Reggie's knee injury, though, he put up a career-high 3-point shooting percentage last year. And, somebody mentions Kennard as well. You know, his ceiling is certainly unknown, but, you know, it's possible Luke Kennard might be the best 3-point shooting team. Luke Kennard might be the best 3-point shooting player on this roster. You know, maybe not this year, but in a year or two, certainly. Let's see. Khalil says Lure did a good job as a backup, was not good as a starter, and that's basically true. But I think that in a lineup with Reggie Jackson, Avery Bradley, Tobias Harris, and Andre Drummond around him, I think that some of the load will be taken off of him. I think it's going to be a more favorable configuration for him than playing alongside Marcus Morris. And especially if Reggie Jackson is higher functioning this season, I think that things will be. I think that it's a lineup that makes more sense than what they put out there last year. At Detroit Blue says Pistons fifth seed. I think that's a possibility. I would not rule it out whatsoever. I think something in like the 4-6 range is pretty reasonable. This roster, which is improved, I think that's it's difficult to argue that it hasn't been improved significantly actually over last year, and that's even not factoring in Reggie Jackson's knee, which simply that coming back strong is going to be an improvement for this team. I think that not making the playoffs here would be a desperate disappointment. You showed me the pronunciation of your last name a while ago. My apologies for not having it on hand. He mentions that Reggie Bullock was the best 3-point shooter on the team last year, and I think he shot about 38% from three. I don't have that handy right now. But I think Reggie Bullock was the best 3-point shooter, but he played so low volume. Yeah, Andrew in chat pops up with low volume as well. Like, you know, he's I think he's a better shooter than we've seen so far in his career, and I'm hoping that this is going to be a shot for him to get some run. Detroit Blue asks if I'm okay with Kennard not getting minutes this year. I think he needs to be getting at least 15 minutes per game, hopefully like closer to 20. Let's see here. Somebody asked a question about Avery Bradley's presser. Langston Galloway and Eric Moreland both were announced to the press yesterday. They had their presser, their inaugural presser with the Pistons yesterday at the Pistons facility. Avery Bradley was not present, but Avery Bradley is on vacation right now. I don't think that he was expecting a trade necessarily, and I think that he's going to be a Piston for at least the next year, so I'm pretty sure we can hold off and just wait for his vacation to end, and that's the situation there. That's why he wasn't announced with the other new Pistons. How realistic do you think it is that Moreland ends up getting more minutes than Boban? Something that I have to admit I have considered. If that's the case, I wouldn't hate seeing Boban just get moved for something in some cap relief. You know, you're not going to get cap space for Boban because the Pistons are so drastically over the cap. But it's relief down the road. It's money that can be shifted over into hopefully paying up for Avery Bradley. Bradley is extension eligible, but the Pistons can't extend him for more than I believe it's $19 million and change, and he's hoping for more. He's probably going to get an amount equivalent to what KCP was hoping he'd get this season. And by the way, KCP is still just dangling in the ether right now, waiting for some significant interest. He's still the highest profile free agent on the market, but his interest has been a curious tale, and getting the story from insiders will be really interesting. Anyone but Darko asks where I think he'll go. I got no idea. It's a mystery to me. The Lakers had interest in giving him a 1-year balloon deal, but I think the most they can do right now is $15 million without renouncing some cap holds and dumping some more salary. The Lakers are questionable. There's only, I think the Chicago Bulls are the only team that has actual max space, and I don't think that any team is coming with the max now. And it's an interesting scenario for KCP because the market next year is not going to be any prettier for free agents. It was not a free agent friendly market by any means. So I don't think KCP would be especially interested in signing just a 1-year big deal, hoping that he can recoup that money next year. He might take a smaller deal and opt for the security of just getting 4 years and less than Tim Hardaway Jr. money, perhaps, which is kind of crazy to say. But I think we're all kind of just waiting to see what happens with KCP because it's very puzzling. There's discussion in the chat right now about why so many people think that the Pistons are one of the biggest losers of the offseason. And I think that any move that Stan Van Gundy makes is always met with a grain of salt. There's a lot of skepticism among the national media that the Pistons have to pay a premium to get people to come here, but I think there's a lot of merit to that. Question about good Pistons podcast. Make sure you're listening to Locked On Pistons. Don't forget to listen to Locked On Pistons and subscribe and give it a 5-star rating. So there is a lot of skepticism nationally about the fact that the Pistons pay a premium to get free agents. They're not even trying to get any kind of like big ticket free agents. You know, last year when they had plenty of cap space, it was all these. Oh, I just got a notification here. Woj retweeted that KCP met with the Lakers today. I don't know if any terms were discussed, but that's an aside. Question: where to listen to Locked On Pistons? Go to iTunes, right there. Just look it up. It is daily. You're going to get some of these same broadcasts here, though. So if you miss part of these Periscopes, you can catch up on it there. So, again, back to the skepticism. You know, without a doubt, Langston Galloway is probably an overpay. Not having gone over the $5.2 million taxpayers, MLE would have avoided hard capping them. But at the same time, I don't think that the Pistons were especially concerned about getting hard capped, because I think that they did have sort of an upper limit that they were willing to spend on the roster as a whole. And if they were going to have to go over that to re-sign KCP, I think that they were going to just you know, ship some salary out. You know, this is all speculation. Rod Beard disagrees. He thinks that the Pistons were concerned about the hard cap, which only kicked in because the Pistons did go over that $5.2 million number. Everything King is in the chat. What's up, King? So, you know, a lot of people didn't like that move for Galloway, but he killed two birds with one stone, which I think was effective. Bringing back Anthony Tolliver for the BAE is fine. Locked On Pistons in chat. Apologies for the aside. The move for Avery Bradley was sheer opportunism, certainly. The Pistons were just going to grit their teeth and pay whatever they had to pay to keep KCP until the Celtics signed Gordon Hayward to the max, and they had to jettison some salary. So it was sheer dumb good luck, really, for the Pistons to be able to get this Bradley deal done. And you know, while it wasn't part of the plan, it was definitely a stroke of good luck. And you know, the Pistons have been very opportunistic when it comes to trades. You know, you look at Tobias Harris. The Orlando Magic thought that they could use their cap space to entice a big time free agent, which ended up being Jeff Green, who is just, you know, every team who gets him, it's a sad tale. So, you know, while it's not a straight up fleecing to have gotten Avery Bradley for Marcus Morris, it's a win of a trade. So I think some media guys have a grim view of pretty much anything that Van Gundy and Bauer do, largely because they dislike the free agent overpays. And let's see, Brewster, Andrew says Galloway's been in some pretty terrible organizations. He might be better than people think. Yeah, he's a guy who can shoot the ball, which is something the Pistons need. But you know, that need is being filled with every single move they've made so far, with the exception of Eric Moreland. Every guy that they've picked up this year has been able to shoot the lights out of the basketball. And you know, with the exception of Luke Kennard, you know, the majority of them are capable or elite defenders. You know, Avery Bradley is absolutely an elite defender, and I mean, he's going to be a big plus on both ends of the floor for this team. So if you guys have any more questions, fire away as I wrap up. Will Bullock eat some of Kennard's minutes? I think that Reggie Bullock is going to mostly play some reserve three. He's not going to play so much two, I don't think. I think that's mostly going to be Bradley, Galloway, and Kennard. I don't think that we're going to see him forced down to like the fourth rung of the ladder. Oh yeah, in chat. For those of you who are not aware, before the draft, Shamik Mohiel, writer for Piston Powered, tweeted out that I don't have the tweet in front of me, but he essentially guaranteed that none of the Pistons' core, being Reggie Jackson, KCP, Tobias Harris, Marcus Morris, Andre Drummond, or John Lurie and Stanley Johnson, would be traded by the Pistons this offseason. And, of course, two of those guys are gone. And what Sham used as his guarantee was that if it happened, he would print out the tweet and eat it. Eat the paper that it was printed on. And that is going to happen. He's going to use a Piston-powered Periscope account tomorrow. And he's going to, on live broadcast, he's going to eat the tweet that he used to guarantee no movement from the Pistons. So we're going to put that on Piston Power. We're going to put that on the Piston-powered Periscope. And we are going to... I'm going to replay that on my Periscope later as well. That'll be 9 o'clock Eastern Time tomorrow night, Wednesday the 12th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Central. And yeah, chat's pretty excited to see Shan use his own words. Let's see. So somebody asked about depth. And yeah, this is a team that could probably go 10 deep, which is really kind of surprising and a little bit delightful. You know, it's a very different team from the one 2 years ago that went to the playoffs. You know, the bench has been essentially, with the exception of Anthony Tolliver, of all people, and Stanley Johnson, the bench has been completely turned over. Tobias Harris only played the final third of the season, and this is a very, very different looking team, and it's a team that has multi-positional ability. And depth was at times an issue last year, so it's a weakness that's been definitely dealt with. Somebody in chat asked if there were reports of Avery Bradley eating with Stan Van Gundy, and I don't know the answer to that question. I haven't seen that, but if that was in Orlando, during Summer League, maybe there is something to that, but I have no idea. Question about Andre Drummond shooting underhanded free throws. I suspect that maybe he's even tried it and it hasn't gone well. It usually is a boost in improvement with guys who try it in the NBA, but I wonder if maybe he's tried it and it did not go so well. It didn't go as well as people who call it a complete cure-all expect. So, maybe there's some concern over him looking silly, but I think he also realizes that, you look sillier shooting in the mid to high 30% at the free throw line. So I do wonder if maybe he's tried it in practice and he's had poor results. I've got no definitive proof or first, second, or third hand evidence of this. But his utter reluctance to do it makes me wonder if it's more than simply not wanting to look silly, because nothing looks sillier than missing almost 70% of your free throws. Nothing. Question about Lonzo Ball, the greatest. I don't know, man. We'll have to see. I don't know about any of these rookies, although I think Dennis Smith Jr. is going to be awesome. I haven't been able to see a whole lot of what he did in the Orlando Summer League because I was especially busy right around that stretch. I was out of town for the majority of the Orlando Summer League, but I do plan on going back over some of his film. Probably once all the Summer League is done, I'm going to end up breaking everything down and getting used to these guys. Question in chat, is Tobias our best player? Right now, I'm not sure. I feel like if Reggie Jackson is healthy, I think Reggie Jackson is the best player on this team. But Avery Bradley being added to the mix, given what he can do on both sides, I think that he's got a case as well now. I think the Pistons have three good candidates now for best player, and that's completely removing Andre Drummond out of the mix, who maybe with a couple steps forward this year will be like head and shoulders the best player on this team. There's some potential for a handful of guys to really step up, this could be the best Piston team in a while. Kennard fits well with the Pistons, although you see Donovan Mitchell looking like a young D Wade. Yeah, Mitchell's been tremendous. I think we're all probably going to be watching Donovan Mitchell from afar, and I hope that we're all going to root for him. I'm going to root for him, but I know that some Pistons fans might have some salt if he ends up looking really impressive before Luke Kennard even really gets on the floor. But you know, I think they're both going to be really good. I think they're both going to be excellent players, if not, you know, excellent rotational players. Certainly decent rookies and have good careers down the road. Somebody comments about shooting. Yeah, I don't think there's any chance this is a team that finishes in the bottom three in pretty much every shooting category next year. I think this is a team that's going to be able to shoot the ball really effectively. This is a team now that has shooters all throughout the lineup, and I think that there's some chance that offense is no longer a problem for them. All right, we're about 30 minutes in here, so we're going to bring this to a close. Once again, for you guys watching on Periscope, please make sure that you are subscribing to Locked On Pistons. Go ahead and rate and review, all that good stuff. You can also use our sponsor, the sponsor for Locked On Pistons. That is SeatGeek, which is a ticket aggregator app. Just download the app, go to the settings tab, use the coupon code LONBA, and save yourself $20, and it lets them know that you came from us. So everybody wins, and it's much appreciated by everybody. So we'll be back at you sometime tomorrow, more than likely, unless it's something to do with Michael Beneje. We'll probably have no roster news necessarily. But we'll definitely have something to talk about in the world of Pistons, as we do just about every day. So that's it for now. I'll talk to you tomorrow.